experience or insight?
Yes.
Wait, Roger, present.
Wait.
Because then we can get it.
The mic.
We get it.
One word.
It's just one word, and that is oneness.
Oneness.
And I first experienced it, as I was telling Mike, on an acid trip many years ago.
Yes, we want to ask for a show of hands.
when my heart was beating at the rhythm of the universe. And to this day, I still feel that occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, in thinking about it and doing the exercise just now, it brought me back to that very clearly.
Mm.
How phenomenal it is that we're all one. The whole universe is one. And I like simplicity. I don't like to complicate things too much. I've been into Bon Buddhism, and that's pretty complicated.
Yeah, well, you can't get any more simple than one.
Zero, maybe.
Zero, yeah. We have an advance on one here. Yes.
Hi, I'm Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
There's a photograph that I'm sure many in the room have seen of the Eye of God. And when I close my eyes, that actually appeared in my vision. And so with each question, I'd get the eye wide open. And so it was a bright light surrounding darkness. And it would contract. What would happen is sorrow would come up, or something I'm working on, or challenges that I'm facing. And then it would close and recede. And the next question would come up, and I'd be ready for the sorrow, and it would close and recede. It was like it was a healing process of openness and closures. And I was aware that it was a vision I've seen of the Eye of God. So it was a nice, I wasn't focusing on it being the Eye of God, but just in my subconscious, I remembered having seen that vision, and it was all, in the back of my, it was in my mind's eye. So it was really a healing process.
Beautiful.
Of opening and closing down the sorrow, and knowing that I had the strength to deal with the challenges, that I'd seen them before, and I had the inner resources. So to close down the sorrow and bring forward the strength.
Beautiful, yeah.
As I was contemplating eternity and then putting myself in there, all I could really come up with was my purpose is to be appropriately responsible to those I come in contact with. And then my neighbor and I, when we started sharing, we got very focused on our grandmother role.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenges of that, and the wisdom that we're hopefully gaining to, make appropriate boundaries and not, try to be something we're not, because there's all of eternity and there's just us.
Yeah. And you said that capacity you mentioned of responding appropriately to each circumstance is, in the Confucian tradition, that is the essence of practical wisdom, to be able to the finding the appropriate response to each situation. Yeah, beautiful.
And it's challenging.
Yeah, well, and it's important for all of us to recognize that, with all the virtues, that that these are lifelong challenges. It's not like one has a final insight or understanding and it's all over. It's an ongoing exploration for life.
Can I tell one of my favorite little stories that I tell almost every time I teach? The student goes to the master and says, "What is the secret of life?" And the master says, "Good judgment." The student says, well, how do I get good judgment? And the master says, "Experience." How do I get experience? Bad judgment.
That's why there's so much experience. Please.
Yes, I think I immediately, I didn't, when you said go back in time, I was back to the Big Bang, right to right from the start. I didn't go back in my life or anything. And so I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm going to have, you know, and then you kept going and going and going. And I thought, oh, this is impossible. But I mean, actually, I did go to a very still place.
Mm-hmm.
And a place of just wholeness. I mean, it just was dark, still, unknowing, no expectation, just stillness. And I found that quite amazing. But at the same time, coming out of it, and it's something that I always think of, is how quickly our lives go. I mean, I mean, I was noticing our teacher here this morning at 84. I mean, she was still had physical gestures and ways of expressing herself as a young girl or as a little girl, you know, and it's something that we all have in us, and it goes so quickly, you know, and sometimes as it seems like it's a very long period when you're younger, but as you get older, time is so precious and so, you know, starts piling up on itself. And I think that's a compilation of wisdom, of learning from one's experiences, making judgments, and not knowing what is the real, I mean, the real answer is, you know, it's out there somewhere, yet to be found. But it was just interesting in that respect, and that's all I have to say.
Well, that's a lot. Really beautiful. Yeah, thank you. And you raise a question. You were saying there's an answer out there somewhere to be found, but or maybe is it at is life at bottom mystery? Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I had an interesting relationship to mystery for a long time. In some subtle way, I assumed that there was something wrong with me, or I was missing something because I couldn't get it. And when it finally dawned that actually it really is at bottom a mystery, it's in so many ways, then it was like this great relief. Then it was like, oh, okay, right. Oh, that intuition, it's like I'm not getting it, wasn't a sign of pathology, it was a sign of reality. You know, that's just the way it is. You know? And there's great freedom in that. You know, then we can kind of play in the mystery. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Anyone have any changes in their understanding or definition of wisdom as a result of that? Anything you'd like to add? Yeah.
Well, I frankly had hoped that wisdom would be coming out of really learning from life's experiences, so that you don't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. I was holding that as wisdom. But then after hearing everything else, I'm not sure I have any idea what it is anymore if it's not that. I mean, we're always being told to wise up, get it, take a look at it, do it better. No, it's not the same thing hitting you again. You've really visited that and you dealt with it, but if you look, you'll see you're now on another level, but it's the same nemesis. But I don't know. Now I'm confused. And I don't tell me it's a good state. I'm tired of that.
Well, let's at least entertain the possibility that it may be a good state. Did you ever read the, how many people here read the Castaneda books?
Oh, yes.
Okay, yes, you read them. Do you remember the four, what are the four traps of a person of knowledge? Anyone remember? Oh? First is fear. Second is power, the seduction of power. As you start doing practices, you get some skills, powers. You know, traditionally they were the cities and very seductive. The fourth, the last is old age. But the third, and in some ways most interesting of all, is clarity. Now, why the hell would clarity be a trap for people of knowledge, for wise people? Well, when things seem clear, it means you have a nice, neat mental map of the way things are. And that's what you have to be willing to let go in order to move to the next stage. And what is a necessary process then? And that's the way we grow. We build these mental structures of the universe. They're called worldviews. It's like, oh, this is the way the world is. This is what I am. This is how it is. Oh, that's clear. And then we have some new experience and new insights, and suddenly it's not so clear. And when enough of those insights hit us, then we kind of, our worldview breaks down, our mental map breaks down, and there's a period of confusion. And if you don't know that's the way the process works, you think, God, there's something wrong with me. What's wrong? Why? You know, et cetera. But in the lions that guard the gates of the Hindu temples, at the entry of the Hindu temples, are said to represent confusion and paradox. And the person who would have true wisdom must be willing to pass through both. All right. So, yeah, confusion. Possibly good. Yeah, please.
Old age.
How's that trap? Oh, in Castaneda, Don Juan says that old age is a trap in that we lose energy and we're tempted just to give up the practice and just stop being, in his words, impeccable.
Well, he didn't know some people like Joanna.
Right. Right. We need role models like Joanna. Yes. Yes. Yeah, please.
Thanks. When I started thinking about a long time, I was thinking about Joanna sitting up here turning 84, and to me that's such a blessing of time. And it's just so funny to think about how time shifts your perspective. Because for me, I'm turning 22 soon, which I know seems so young compared to some of you, but it's so funny thinking about how much I've changed in a year and how much I've older and more experienced I am than 4 years ago. And yet at the same time, it's balanced with this this innocence of still feeling like there's things to work out and things to discover. And I think we have this concept of this ideal where we're going to, like, in by that age I'll be this much more level of perfect, and by that age I'll have everything figured out. But sometimes you just have to stop and remind yourself of, like, maybe that's not really the way it is. Maybe we never get to this place of, like, okay, I've got everything figured out, and that's actually kind of a gift, a great gift to us, because if there's nothing else to discover and to figure out, then why are we here?
I think you're onto something.
Yeah, really. Yes, very nicely. Yeah. Yeah, there never seems to be a shortage of things to learn. So, yeah. Let's see. I want to suggest we do another exercise this time. Let me just ask first, was there anything else on any other changes in understanding of wisdom? We covered it? Okay. All right, I want to suggest we do another exercise, this time in pairs. And what I'm going to suggest you do is to break up into pairs, maybe someone you haven't talked with or worked with already today, and then just do a repetitive question. And the question is this, what are you? So, person number A, you can decide who's going to be A, who's going to be B. Person A just asks, what are you? Person B responds, thank you. What are you? Thank you. What are you? And what I think you'll discover as you go through this process is that if you just relax or open to your experience, each time that question comes up, it's an invitation to go deeper and to, you may go through a whole array of identities. It'll probably be quite interesting.
But you never answer the question at all.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, yes, what are you? And then you, I'm sorry, thank you very much for bringing that up. minor detail. Yeah, what are you? You respond, person B responds, what are you? Response, thank you. What are you? Thank you. And just play with that. Any other questions?
Can I add a suggestion,
please?
Which is after, when you hear the question, what are you? Take a moment to check your body as well as your mental, whatever comes to your mind. Just keep, the body sometimes will give you an interesting answer if you feel what's there. So it can be very immediate. What are you? I'm a throbbing, pulsing, literal glob of life. So don't make it too super rational.
Yes. All right. Very good. Yes, thanks. So you might want to just spread out a little bit. I will ring the bell at the halfway point, and then you'll switch roles.